Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. Our focus today will be once again on the emerging markets. I do have joining me here in studio in 1285 today, Alejo Zarwanko, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with UBS CIO. Alejo, it's great to be always in person with you. Thank you for dropping by the studio. I know we have a lot of interesting topics to touch on today, given your recent travel. So looking forward to diving into this with you.
Absolutely. Super excited to be here, Dan.
Absolutely. So our conversation, it does coincide, I want to point this out for our listeners, our clients, to the monthly flagship Investing in Emerging Markets. The title is Digesting Regime Change. This also coincides with, I mentioned, some recent travel. Alejo, you were down in Washington, D.C. for the International Monetary Fund, IMF, World Bank meetings. Now, tell us about these meetings. You were boots on the ground. Many of us, myself included, were not. So very curious to hear about these meetings. Who attends? And why are these meetings relevant?
Totally. Dan, the IMF and the World Bank are two multilateral institutions created 70 plus years ago with the U.S. at their core. And twice a year, they invite finance ministers from around the world, central bank presidents from all over the globe to D.C. to discuss the outlook for the global economy. And what a time to go to D.C. to talk about the outlook for the global economy. This trip inspired the title of the publication. I got the sense that everybody is trying to digest this change in geoeconomic regime, right? It is a historic moment, the one we're living. Unabridged. Globalization seems to be a thing of the past, and we're moving towards something new. And everybody was trying to figure out what exactly that might look like.
So I have to suspect that U.S. trade policies, tariffs were top of mind. This is a very impressive meeting of the minds with global perspective. So I'm curious, Alejo, what did you hear on U.S. tariffs and outlook there, and how might that compare to our own expectations here at the UBS Chief Investment Office?
Absolutely. I would say most foreigners visiting the United States were very cautious about the outlook for tariffs. They thought things might get worse before they get better. They reminded everybody that there are 232 investigations when it comes to chips, pharmaceuticals, and certain commodities, right? And this might lead to even higher tariffs that we are living with today. Locals had a more nuanced view. Some people were of the expectation that deals with certain countries would be imminent. Think maybe India or South Korea, Japan, maybe the EU, that maybe deregulation as an agenda topic might be prioritized after that. Tax cuts might be coming. And putting it all together, you heard somewhat more optimistic views. So I think views were all over the place, a bit more pessimistic from overseas, a bit more nuance from a domestic standpoint. As you know, Dan, we expect that things are going to be choppy, volatile, tariff-wise, market-wise, for the next 3 to 6 months. Trying to project 9-12 months out, we think that the pressure, economic pressure, political pressure, judicial pressure is going to be high enough that tariffs are going to moderate. We're penciling in an effective tariff rate in the 10 to 15% ballpark. This is a lot higher than pre-Trump 2.0, but meaningfully lower than we have today.
A topic of interest of our listeners is the future of the U.S. dollar. Will it maintain its status as the global reserve currency? Did that come up in any of the conversations? Was that discussed?
Discussed plenty, Dan. I would say people are concerned about the policy shift that the U.S. is undergoing. Some of the phrases that were most often utilized to convey the message is the genie is out of the bottle, The toothpaste is out of the tube, you cannot unsee what you already saw, in a way. Meaning, I think Europe is going to try to prepare for a future that is a bit more independent of the United States, a bit more resilient, with a lot more spending in self-defense. China, we already see the reaction in terms of response to tariffs and, you know, has no issue with waiting it out while it builds alliances in Asia and with parts of the developing world. So all in, I would say there was a lot of debate about geoeconomic fragmentation, about maybe the U.S. maintaining its sphere of influence in North America and maybe Latin America. Europe, at some point, agreeing to disagree with Russia while it tries to get ready for a different future ahead in terms of investment, investing in self-reliance. And Asia, with China at its core, also building a new economic structure that is not as reliant on exports to the U.S. As I've argued before in this podcast, trade wars are capital flows wars, meaning if goods and services do not trade as freely into the U.S., that means capital might not go as freely into the U.S., challenging the U.S. exceptionalism debate. I think in Washington, D.C., a lot of conversations about foreigners rethinking how much exposure they should have to the United States. Nobody's thinking about a collapse of U.S. assets or a collapse of the U.S. dollar as global reserve currency. That is not the focus of the conversation. It is, what's the right weight? Am I overexposed? And my sense, Dan, is this is going to be a secular conversation, a multi-quarter, multi-year conversation. This is not going to get resolved in a matter of days.
Thank you, Alejo, for the clarity there. Now, here on the podcast, you've discussed with us many times emerging markets, broadly speaking, China, Latin America. I'm curious as to what the focus points when it comes to those regions are. What are some takeaways you can share with our listeners and clients?
Totally. You know, I've been attending this IMF World Bank meetings for over a decade, and sentiment towards emerging markets hasn't been too supportive over this period. Things might be changing, at least sentiment-wise. People were a bit more constructive vis-a-vis parts of the emerging world. I would highlight the recognition that there are certain countries that fall into the geopolitical swing state or middle power category, meaning large enough, influential enough that they can craft a middle path in between, say, the U.S., China, Europe. We're thinking about countries like India or some Middle Eastern powers such as the UAE or Saudi Arabia, some Latin American powers such as Brazil. This set of countries can benefit from this global environment. That's one thing. Then Latin America was heavily discussed as maybe some sort of safer harbor amid this, you know, very challenging backdrop. We shouldn't forget Latin America received a homogeneous 10% tariff on Liberation Day, April the 2nd. Mexico received a 0% additional tariff together with Canada. It's a region that, you know, it's peaceful. There's not going to be conflict between countries. Has a decent stock of human capital, of infrastructure that can attract nearshoring, I think, opportunities. So it's a developing story. Unfortunately, Latin America is not proactively jumping at the opportunity to take advantage of it. That's, you know, they could be doing a better job. But, you know, there are exceptions. Argentina was heavily discussed in Washington, D.C. In a world in which most people think the outlook is fairly grim, Argentina is reforming its economy for the better. and that is catching people's attention, among other topics.
Well, Alejo, some fascinating takeaways, boots on the ground perspective. This is, of course, a very important meeting of the minds. So thank you for joining us here on Market Moves to provide this perspective to our listeners and clients.
Excellent. Thank you. And of course, we have a much deeper analysis in our monthly Investing in Emerging Markets, which we titled Digesting Regime Change. And I'm also quite active on LinkedIn with a monthly newsletter and more regular commentary, so listeners are invited to join me on that journey.
Thank you for that, Alejo. I will point our clients specifically to the Investing in Emerging Markets flagship report, as Alejo mentioned, title for this month, Digesting Regime Change. For our clients of UBS, please reach out to your UBS financial advisor directly if you would like to receive a copy. Alejo, look forward to picking back up with our conversation next month. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights, at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.